All right, let's start this 1061. Here we go.
40poundofmeatinyourmouth.com?
Yeah, here we go.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
40 pound of meat in his mouth.
I'd like sweet meat.
That's kind of fucking weird, but okay.
Like an inch and a half long. Right. My wife doesn't care.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cats, you can stick it up your ass. There ain't no funny duddies that are looking bad. But the show man could direct the DLFGS.org. And I see challenges at LinuxLink.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the calendar's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1061 of the Linux Sling Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joe.
Yep, I'm here.
And we have Dave.
I'm here too.
And we'll probably get Joel at some point, but be that as it may, I wanted to bring up two articles that came across my feed this week. Not because I think that they're overly spectacular. It's just, it's been a little while since
Do either one of them involve CrowdStrike?
No. No, we'll save that for later. So the first one was, I haven't seen one of these in a while. Let's say the article, or is it an opinion piece? I don't know. So say goodbye to Microsoft Windows 11. Nobara 40 is the Linux-based operating system you need. And this is by Brian Fagioli. I'm going to assume that's how it's pronounced. It's off of Beta News. And there was really, it was July 17th. And it goes into talking
about... Did I just hear an ad for Lindos?
It goes into talking
Windows?
About... Windows? Yeah, it goes into talking about Nobara Windows. And Nobara Linux, sorry. Nobara 40. I'm not familiar with this distribution. Have any of you guys ever used it or
no,
heard of it?
Never heard of it.
You mean Linspire?
Oh, it's not. It's actually, it's kind of like a Fedora spin, I guess. I don't know if you would say it's a Fedora spin, but it's based off of Fedora.
I haven't heard of this specific one, but my point is that there's so many of these.
Boy, no, I haven't had one of these come across my
feed in a while.
In a while. It's true. I've just never had heard of it. I don't know how old it is. I'm wondering if maybe some of you have. What makes it so wonderful?
Well, I know that there's a couple out there that have done a lot of work with getting, like, not Proton, but tools like that really integrated down to the system level so that, Windows applications will run.
Well, I'm going to say this right off the bat. For what I can see, it's not about running Windows applications or trying to run Windows applications. This is just, instead of using Microsoft Windows, here's the desktop operating system that you need, Nobara 40. And it's just, it's KDE 611 or GNOME 46 with NVIDIA drivers and I guess their own custom spin on the desktop.
There's
their custom themes, clean versions themes.
There's a version for Steam handheld devices too.
Yeah, there you go. There you go, for the Steam Deck. I saw that. There's five versions. There's the KDE version. That's their custom theme version of KDE.
Probably better than running the Windows version for Steam Deck.
Yeah, GNOME, KDE, Steam HTPC. What's that?
Home Theater PC?
Okay, and then there's the Steam handheld. So,
I assume it's a clone of like XBMC.
Nobora?
No.
It looks like this screenshot says deck mode. It looks like Steam and big window mode or big whatever it's called.
Yeah.
No, Steam HD PC that you were talking about. Yeah. I was assuming that that was like an XBMC clone or something.
So I guess it is, what is it about? From what I understand, it's not actually a Debian spin or an Ubuntu spin. It is a RPM-based distribution akin to Fedora, whether it is derived from Fedora. We use Fedora's exact kernel version with our patches added to it. So it's their own. It's based off of Fedora, I believe, so from what they're saying. But they add customization to it. So it's interesting. What?
I was just looking at their change log, see how far back it goes. Looks like this distribution goes back till July 10th, 2022.
Well, they're up to number 40.
So. Yeah.
That's because it's numbered off of the Fedora release. So, like, Fedora 37, Nobara 37, Fedora 38, Nobara 38, 39, Nobara 39, Fedora 40, Nobara 40. I was like, you know, I wasn't quite clear on what the 40 meant for, 40 releases that distribution might have had in the past. I'm surprised I hadn't heard about them, but there's probably a ton of distributions that have it, but to make it to the top and say, hey, this is something to check out. No, it's just based off of Fedora releases.
All right. It does look like they got Wine integrated into it, included in installation.
Something called GameScope, which I'd never heard of.
And Proton.
So it sounds like they did a lot of Steam type integration into this thing.
Well,
where I guess isn't a lot of Steam come with
Proton.
Yeah, Proton,
which is included on.
So it looks like I would say there's just probably a lot of that.
But if you have things like Wine and Proton, and I do believe they had Lutris listed here too. That's also, any kind of Windows application.
Right.
Can be run using those.
And GameScope is evidently a microcompositor for Steam.
So what we're looking at here is somebody collecting, or this group collecting a lot of tools and putting them together and in a distribution so that it saves you the extra work of having to collect all this stuff yourself on top of, say, Fedora or whatever, like, you're using. So kudos to them.
The website specifically says this project aims to fix most of those issues and offer a better gaming, streaming, and content creation experience out of the box. So it is for gaming, streaming, and content creation.
Now, where are you reading this off of their website? Oh, it's
NobaraProject.org.
But it's not to be considered a Fedora spin.
It's a modified version.
Yeah, completely independent project from Fedora. Fedora developers involved.
So it sounds like they took a lot of that extra work of having to get some of this stuff configured and set up together.
Are they using any of the Fedora repos?
RPM Fusion's there.
That's just a packaging system. So it says it uses flat packs. It says it uses snaps.
Well, you know what?
I don't know. It's Fedora with some polish on it.
It sounds like they're scratching an itch for RPM distros that want a game, maybe.
Yeah, I guess an RPM distro, but because there are several now operating systems that are trying to compete with, I don't want to say compete with Steam, but, you know, Steam never did actually release their OS for other people to mess around with, like they said they were going to, so yeah. Other people have been making clones.
It sounds like, if I understand this correctly, it's kind of like how Manjaro is to Arch, where they have their own repositories. They might take Arch packages and mirror them in their repositories, or those they may have modified in their repositories. So they kind of seem to operate on a similar model where, but with Fedora, if a new version of Fedora is released, they say it's usually, according to FACC, about 2 weeks until their repos are updated, and then that new version comes out for them. So I would assume, I would guess, you know, is there, do they have it configured that it's using some core Fedora repositories? I don't know, but it seems it's more like Manjaro does it with their own repositories. So, there we are. You gonna try it now, Dave?
No. I've got my distro.
You're all set in your way. I would, you know what? If one of the kids came to me and said, I want to slap something on here, I might consider Nobora on their laptop or whatever, just to check it out. Have them run it for a bit.
Grandson's old enough, I'll have him install Debian, and when he gets a little older, I'll have him install Arch.
And that's, oh, there you go, right?
That's his only two choices.
There you go. That's wait, I didn't smell Slackware in there.
Nah.
And you just, those two choices right there. Nothing else.
That's what I said.
You solved that problem, keeping it in family. I guess, you know, that this kind of goes into...
What, no mint?
No.
That can't be his Debian?
No, it got to be vanilla.
This goes into another article that I saw posted this week. That's kind of similar to it. In the vein of, from ZDNet, an opinion piece by Jack Wallen, who asked the question, why don't more people use desktop Linux? And he has a theory that you might not like. And can you guess what the theory is?
Too much work for them to set up.
All your computers come with Windows for free.
Okay, well, kind of close, but no. No, you're not close, Dave. Get out of here. We're not talking about it's too difficult. He's basically saying, in this day and age, when installing Linux is easier than probably installing like Windows or OS X or anything else, and it usually just works out of the box, and you have a ton of applications available to you, why don't we see a larger adoption of Linux on the desktop?
I see his reasoning now.
He posits it's because we don't have a single flagship desktop that we're all kind of rallying behind or unify or present as that install.
So that's just the too many choices argument pulled inside out.
Right. So he's saying if we had a distribution, let's say it was, for lack of a better word, since we got to be diplomatic here now, it was Linux Mint that we all rally behind to make Joe happy.
Of course. What else would we rally behind?
There you go.
Nothing.
So we all, and then Dell and HP and Lenovo. Is Lenovo still around?
Yep.
Well, whatever. They would just be offering Linux laptops and desktops with Linux Mint installed.
I want to say I don't like it.
You don't like it?
I want to say that, yeah. I mean, there's nothing stopping a distro from making those deals, going out with all those OEM manufacturers and, you know, that's redundant, but you're going out there and say, hey, you know, install this.
Yeah.
You know, solve a problem, but I don't like it.
And the only company that could really actually probably maybe do that. Well, okay, there's two companies that could do it, but only one that would of the two. And that's Ubuntu.
Yeah.
Ubuntu could do it and Fedora and do it. Could do it, but Fedora wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know why it hasn't happened yet.
I'm glad it hadn't happened yet.
Wait, what should
we not? On small scale.
Wait, what are we saying hasn't? What thing are we saying hasn't happened yet?
Ubuntu making deals with manufacturers to, you know, more manufacturers to have their operating system on computers that they sell. Part of that is, as I think, a couple of years back, wasn't there some kerfuffle with Microsoft saying if you sell computers that have any other operating system on them, we won't work with you anymore?
Yeah, there was something to that extent. I don't know if they still
stand behind that garbage.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they don't say it out loud anymore.
Well, here's a couple of things that I think about with this. Number one, I know that we look and say the desktop market, I think OS X is like only a few percent, and Linux is like in the decimals of a percent or a percentage of a percent, you know. Well, whatever.
I thought it was like 3% now.
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah, I did too.
But does that include Chromebooks?
I don't think it's including Chromebooks. I think Chromebooks are included separately, and if you include them all together, it comes up to almost like 7%. And then if you include Android phones, things start getting ugly.
So here's my thought about, you know, all of that is, dude, is the reason why manufacturers and Linux, a distribution like Ubuntu, I haven't actually heard them, I mean, maybe the manufacturers on occasion say this, but there just isn't a demand for it?
There is not a demand for it. But I don't know that there actually is a demand for Windows. It's just always been there.
Right, but that's what I'm saying is like, okay, so there is, I mean, are people still buying laptops and desktops, or are they just sticking with their phones and Chrome and going with Chromebooks? I mean, what is the trend? I'm so far out of it, I don't know. You know,
my parents are retired, and I think it's use case. So
holy shit, your parents are alive?
Yeah.
Holy, aren't you like 104?
No, about half that. Well, listen, more than half that. Anyway, I think it's use case. Like if you're into digital photography, you're going to buy a laptop. If you're like my mom and you're into whatever she's into, some kind of crafting thing, you're going to want something to run the software on, so you're going to buy a desktop or a laptop. If you don't have a need for it, I don't think you're going to buy one. You're going to be satisfied with a phone or a tablet.
Sure you are.
But I guess that's the thing. I mean, I know people have computers, but they don't seem to use them anymore unless they absolutely have to.
Yeah, yeah.
For some reason. And then they just like, they might have the same one that's been sitting around for 4 or 5 years now. So yeah, is the market still, is it more of a, I mean, I don't know how the market is.
It's work, school, or hobby. It's the only reason anybody has a home computer, I think.
Right, but it used to be that a lot of the stuff that you would do on your, now you do on your phone, you used to do on the computer.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, that's what I'm saying, are people ditching the computer for the phone?
And we've been expecting a market shift there to, you know, that convergence. We've been expecting it for years. It just hasn't materialized.
No, it
hasn't. Will
it
in another decade or two? Quite possibly.
But the thing is, will it materialize, or will it become like accessories to your phone?
Well, first, it would be your phone takes over for your computer.
Right.
With a, and then the first thing that's going to happen, the first accessory is going to be a docking station so you can hook all the things up to it to make it work like a computer.
Right.
And then from there, yes, there will be more accessories. Yes, there will probably be an external GPU for your phone, so that way you can game at 4K.
That's why I'm like, I don't know. If, one of the big reasons why we haven't seen a real big push with a Linux laptop or desktop is because I don't know if, aside from businesses, is the consumer market that large?
Actually, you have. Well, think about it. Think about it. Chromebooks are Linux laptops.
Yeah, but we talked about...
We were already discussing that and keeping it separate for right this second. We'll add that in a minute. But I'd say that there is, if you were to swap out at this point, because of the way everything is web-based, if you were to swap out all the brand new Windows systems for Linux systems, most people would not give a flying shit and wouldn't notice.
Yeah, if it came pre-installed, you know, for average consumer use, you're right.
Right now, it's just like inertia keeping that going.
Now, here's the next thing. Let's go on that line. Okay, so let's say we're getting to that. So we have Chromebooks and we have desktops and laptops and. What I don't see is you have Chromebooks and then you have cheap Windows laptops and then you bump up into the high mid range to high range. Then you start to get the choice for a Linux on that laptop. Like I rarely see like that $200-$300 Windows laptop that there's a Linux offering for that.
And that's a missed opportunity
on the
show.
Yes, but. Not from the manufacturer's perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, from the manufacturer's perspective, most people know Windows and are going to be comfortable with it. And Windows is going to give them a huge-ass discount on getting that operating system onto new computers.
Yeah.
So I mean, is a single unified distribution of Linux going to crack that door open?
No.
Absolutely
Linux is
not.
What, 33 years old, 30-something years
right.
old, and I think it would be bad for Linux. I think the reason Linux is what it is now is because of all the choices you have.
Right, because if you don't like a distribution or you haven't found a distribution that you do like, it's always possible to just spin up your own.
Yeah, and if you don't like this program, there's another program that does, you know, something similar. If you're not,
I agree with you on that, but you know, the general person doesn't want that level of choice. They just want something that's going to run and do what it needs
to
do.
Well, which is why, you know, I would say Ubuntu.
Right, but.
I'm not even an Ubuntu fan, but I still say that, you know, if you put if Canonical started making deals with manufacturers and getting Ubuntu put on to machines, and then at the beginning you still went through that install process and you got to, I don't even know if I would put the choice for like the user interface. I don't know if I would put the desktop environment choice there because that's just too much choice for people and they're just going to say, nope.
You'd pick Plasma and nobody would know the difference.
Give them Plasma or give them, I wouldn't do GNOME 3.
Plasma's the way to go.
Yeah, Plasma's the way to go because it does multi-monitor support out of the box really easy and GNOME really just, it's not built for it. Wow, I almost sound like I know what the fuck I'm talking about.
There you go.
Fucking crazy.
Now, what about the other side to that? Due to the flexibility of Linux, it is, what we have seen in the past, particularly when a company wants to use Linux as their, on their machine systems for their operating system, they invariably choose to create their own custom spin.
Or their own custom add-ons.
Right.
Their add-on package.
Which, in and of itself, you know, I get it, but then you end up with a fragmented version of whatever it is that they're going to, that what's based off of.
Okay.
And so you're kind of blocked out maybe on a lot of that support network.
The solution to that is to, yes, have Canonical still because they're the big name in the desktop environment. But instead of Ubuntu, you do something like an immutable. Like what? Snappy Core is immutable, right? Something where the user cannot break it unless they really, really try hard.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean? Oh, do you mean like kind of like when the AAA PCs first came out, like you couldn't really modify them because it used that that file system where it just when you restarted it refreshed itself.
Yeah,
and erased
it would be sort of similar, but more like what Steam OS does with their immutable, and there are several others that do it, but this is the one that comes to my mind first. So, like, when an update comes in for Steam OS, there's two partitions, and it will update one of the partitions and then leave the other partition there. And then you don't actually put programs on it. You know, not at the operating system level. You put either snaps or flat packs or app images on it.
Right. Okay.
So you're not doing anything that could potentially break it. Now, granted, there are still ways if you try hard enough, obviously, to break it. But that's the idea.
I hate that. I mean, I hate everything about
you do.
That.
But we're not building this for you.
I know,
there's a
I
reason.
Know.
There's a reason you're a Linux user as it is.
But are we scratching
it? You want
it?
Control.
But I just don't know that.
But most people don't give a crap what their operating system is. As long as when they turn it on, they can go check their mail and look at porn.
Yeah, it still comes down to... Does it come down to support anymore, though? I mean...
You're limiting the amount of support that needs to be required by using an immutable.
Yeah, but... I don't know. I don't know. I can't even...
You broke them, man.
Yeah. Years ago, people used Windows because you would go to the store and you only be able to buy Windows programs. And
right.
But people don't do that anymore.
But if a Linux machine came to market now, it would be for us. But if a Linux machine came to mass market, they need to be able to cover everybody from, derp to brilliant that doesn't want anything to do with their actual operating system and only wants it to work. And the easiest way to handle both of those ends of the spectrum is with an immutable.
Now it sounds we're back to the triple EPC.
I have no problem with that.
It
was one of the first computers that came out, you know, commercially that had, you know, mass market and a Linux version on it.
Right.
So
yep.
It'll always have a special place in my heart. And the Acer Aspire 1.
I miss netbooks. I really do.
They make similar ones, but, you know, small screens and old eyeballs.
Yep. Well, see, that's where Microsoft changed their licensing. I think it's still that way, where it's free if it's a certain screen size, if I remember right.
Now, I hope this never happens. And the reason is, as soon as, let's say this were to happen, exactly what this article is wanting to happen, you got an official version out there. It's got an immutable file system. The user can't mess it up. It comes pre-installed. It's mass market, all of that. I think it's going to hurt the rest of the Linux community.
I don't think it will. I think it will actually help the rest of the Linux community, because there will be the people that use this, and then there will be the people that use everything else, which is us.
I just see.
And you will have a much, much larger number of developers, even if they're building for the immutable mass market. Yes, it'll turn into Windows eventually. But that immutable mass market will be writing programs that will also work on other systems. And people will take that, and either they, if they can't, you know, take it directly, they will clone it. And it will be easier to clone it.
Yeah, as long as it's still Linux, that can happen. I mean, as long as it's still, you know, everything Linux is today as far as being free and open source, it might not hurt Linux, but I just...
Heck, even Microsoft is starting to embrace some of that, you know. They're using Chrome, so, and, you know, Windows subsystem for Linux has been there for a while now.
Now, the older you get, the more you dislike change.
Yeah.
I mean, I like change, but I like organic change, you know, people forking stuff and creating new things, but I don't want the ecosystem to change.
Yeah, I could see how this would be a good thing. I just don't really think that it will happen, because Windows and well, mainly Windows with like 76% of the market or something crazy like that. It's just got too much momentum right now, so it's going to be a long time before something like that happens.
Yeah.
73% for Windows. Ubuntu has, or no, Linux has 4.04%, and macOS has 14.93%. Now, that might be Chrome OS and Linux
iOS
together.
Oh.
So, yeah, okay, here's what it says is most of your Linux users, so I guess not Chrome OS, and that's Arch Linux, and then, what, Ubuntu Core 22, Ubuntu, okay, so it's Ubuntu 24.04 and Ubuntu 22.04, and then Linux Mint 21.3 and Manjaro. Oh, Pop OS is on there, and Other has a large percentage.
Is that broken down by volumetrically? I mean, it is.
Yeah. Okay. So. Honestly, Steam OS has 41%. Arch Linux has 8%. Flatpak Runtime is what it calls the next one at 6.7%. Linux Mint 21.35%. Ubuntu 22.04. 4%, Manjaro 3%, Ubuntu 24.04 3%, Ubuntu Core 22 2%, Pop OS 2%, and Other almost 23%.
I'm surprised Arch is as high as it is.
I'm not really.
I mean, it's my favorite, but I mean, I just didn't know it was that popular, I guess. But.
Yeah, well, a lot of your Linux nerds, you know, that enjoy their Linux superiority and eventually had to switch to Arch Linux because so many other people were using some variant of Linux, and it got so much easier to install things on those variants of Linux. So.
Yeah.
I Run Arch is now the new I Run Linux.
From scratch.
It probably falls somewhere in the other category.
Was that Joel trying to chime in?
It might have been. It sounded like it. Yes, it's a goal.
But this could be on this one.
Oh my goodness.
That's horrible, Joel.
What did you do? I'm going over to the, what's it called, and fix your audio. Yeah, he's right, man. Holy moly.
He gets that fixed, but he gotta figure out what distro he's using.
He's using Nobara, right?
It's not Linux Mint.
Oh, yeah.
The reason I use Arch is the itch it scratched for me is with Debian. If there wasn't an official Deb package for whatever program I was trying to install, you had to install from source. And I do that less with Arch than I did with Debian. You know, yeah.
Oh yeah, because there the you reason. Are.
Yeah.
But, see? You lost your Linux superiority, so you switched to Arch.
Shame, Dave. Shame. Well, there we are. We need a distribution to be crowned the king and go off with the manufacturers.
Well, I think Ubuntu Core is a immutable. Let me double check that.
I mean, I think Ubuntu is the closest one out there that does that. And this is not, you know, I'm not saying that there aren't great offerings out there, like System 76 and, help me out, Dave, who else is out there? Think Penguin?
I don't know if they're still around. I don't know.
And I agree. I mean, those guys are great for what they do, but they are definitely a small business.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at Pop OS. You said it was 4% of the 4%.
Yeah. And that's System 70. Is that System 76?
I think Pop OS is System 76.
Yeah, that's 76. I think Penguin is still selling Linux-based systems.
And there's a couple of other companies out there that sell, you know, almost exclusively Linux systems. But they're never going to be huge.
Star Labs, System 76.
I mean, I think one of the problems is most people they're going to go to a brick and mortar store to buy a laptop.
Right.
And brick and mortar stores aren't going to carry anything that's not going to turn over. So the market share is not there, and getting it there is probably after 33 years is insurmountable.
It's been tried.
Yeah. I mean, I've got, you know, I think I bought a ThinkPad one time, that maybe the first one, and there was an option to get OpenSUSE, or is this SUSE back
right.
then, I think, installed.
And I think what the XPS line, the XPS 13 line, the developer edition comes with Ubuntu.
Yeah. It used to be you could order one online and get it pre-installed. What was the CD company years ago? Oh crap! You could get.
Was it Walnut Creek? Was it?
Yeah, that was it. There was okay. another one too. There were two, but you could order any distro on CD, and you know.
I know what you're talking about, and I can't remember who that was.
Yeah, back before broadband was everywhere, that was one way to get a Linux distro was order it on CD.
Well, you know that's. I'm curious about that. Do people still buy computers? And I mean, obviously, yes, people do. But are the majority of the computers that consumers buy at brick and mortar stores, or do they just get them off of Amazon now?
Maybe.
Amazon.
Yeah, I'm thinking of people older than me. my circle's gotten smaller since I retired.
Say,
it's just me and my parents.
See, all of a sudden, like, we're talking about the general population, and Dave is talking about his group of population, which is meeting for the early bird special down there.
Right.
And,
people that eat before 4 p.m., everybody I know, you know, around me that's not a Linux user, they bought their laptop at Best Buy.
Get those people out of your life. You don't need them.
They eat dinner when Biscuitville closes, right? Is that it? Is that it?
Biscuitville.
I don't know what Biscuitville is.
What? There's got to be Biscuitvilles in South Carolina. If
there were, I think I would know about it.
Well, you like Biscuitville?
Yeah. No, but my wife loves to eat, and if there was a place called Biscuitville, we'd have already been there.
I'm surprised. I know they're like, gosh, the closest one I think to me is in Durham, or is it Raleigh? It's around the Raleigh-Durham area, and I see the signs for them all the way down to my mother-in-law's place. So I know they're in South Carolina because there's one in Rock Hill, okay. South Carolina. So I just figured that since they're all over the South like that.
Because you can get yourself the Spam Classic Crunch Combo.
At Biscuitville?
Yeah.
But they close at 2:30, I think. So they serve like biscuits from 6 a.m. to 2:30 or
they
something.
They got first watch hours, huh?
Yeah. So if you really like biscuits, slide on in there around 2 o'clock, and they usually have a bunch that they're just trying to get rid of. So you might get like 2 or 3 biscuits with additional biscuits with your order.
Because
we've had that
happen
to us before. Because my kids love Biscuitville. It is good.
The only restaurant I even know of that had the word biscuit in it was, this was back in the 80s in Myrtle Beach. There was a place called Cathead Biscuit.
Ooh.
Now you got me wondering, Dave.
Dave. See, Dan's got a Wawa. You got a Sheetz down there?
Yeah, we got a You know what, actually, you have to go a little out of here to get the
Sheetz.
I think maybe in Williamsburg might have a Sheetz. I know. Like when we head off up to Charlottesville, there's one of the only places you can stop on an exit is a Sheetz.
They got good food.
I'm not the biggest Sheetz fan.
But you've shit your pants before. and it dug out.
Now I gotta look at. Come on. Like, I'm supposed to know where stuff is in South Carolina by looking. So, you're not close to Columbia, right?
No.
You're not. What about Duncan?
I'm 40 miles from Duncan. It's closer to Rock Hill. No, Irmo's.
So there's a Biscuitville in Duncan you can take your wife to this weekend, and she'll be like, she'll love you all over again.
Oh,
Dave.
Yeah. It's my 33rd wedding anniversary Saturday. I don't think Biscuitville would work.
You show her how much you love her. Take her to Biscuitville.
I'm going to say, just don't take her to Dunkin' Donuts. Their donuts are horrible.
But you know what, Dave? This is how you do it. You take her there, but you arrive there at 1:30 and then tell her, well, we can't go in because Dan says wait until after 2 o'clock when they're about ready to close.
So what you do,
get some extra biscuits.
Take her to the state fair and get her a dill dog.
I mentioned making reservations at this nice place Saturday, and she's like, "Well," she said, "I got a $50 gift card to Applebee's. Let's just go there."
Oh God!
So she likes cheap food.
Oh my God! Where were That's you going to go, Dave? Thing. Ruth Chris, right?
No, it's not that nice. It's called the Blue Heron. Used to be in Clemson. It's in Pendleton now, which. It's a nice restaurant, but it's not.
What is it? A food truck? They just picked it up and moved it.
No, they've got a chef. But it's reasonable. I mean, it's $30 plates, not $80 plates.
Well, yeah. Well, I had the day off work, so I can have a camera shoved up my nose.
Oh, for
seriously?
You.
Yeah, I had my bronchoscopy today, which only the second time I've ever been put under anesthesia. Ever.
Really?
Yep.
Well, my doctors are once again discussing what's it called? Sinuplasty, where they basically fill a balloon. Yeah, fill a balloon up inside your nose to crack all the cartilage and straighten everything out.
That sounds uncomfortable.
Doesn't it, though? It's an outpatient, though.
Yeah. Yeah, this is weird. It's like, you know, they get the IV in. I'm in back in the room there, and they put me on oxygen. But because they had to go through the nose, the cannula only went to one side of my nose because the other side was where the camera was going to go. And then they inject this stuff, and it hit me like my tongue was like numb. And then all of a sudden, it's over. It's like. And then they bring out pictures, and I have a piece of paper with all the pictures they took of like my vocal cords and all that stuff on it. So when I go back for the results on the 20 in a month, then we'll find out if I qualify for the Inspire sleep therapy device, which I should. Then I'll find out. Well. Can Joel afford it, for that matter?
Tell him you can put the pictures online if you get a discount. Like the people that put the
it was
the
an experience. Yeah. It's an experience. You know, Misty had to drive me home, and I was hungry too. It's like, I'm staying there, I'm checking in for this procedure, right? And somebody ordered a Chick-fil-A. I'm like, oh God. I'm like, I'm hungry. Didn't get to do any workout today I could have gone before. Like, I woke up around 5 a.m. I probably could have went out before, but I couldn't drink anything. So, and since whenever I hike, I almost always have a water bottle with me. I decided against it. Probably should have went anyway, but that's okay. I'll just get up and go in the morning and do a hike in addition to going to the boot camp tomorrow night. But so I had a pretty relaxing day. Oh, excuse me. But cooked some burgers out in the grill today. Some Wahlburger patties. Those are good.
Wait, you went to Wahlburger?
No, I can buy the patties here, and I made them at home.
What's the difference between the Wahlburger patty and a regular, burger patty?
Different meat, I guess.
Depends on which one you buy.
It's the packaging and the price.
That too, probably, yeah. I like them. They taste good. I mean, they're a premium burger. They'll have, some of them are made out of brisket for the ground brisket, so others are different meat blends they have. They're good, and they're not horribly expensive. They're not like if you went and bought Wagyu to make it, which is a waste of Wagyu in my opinion.
And making meatloaf out of Wagyu would be a waste.
That too. Meatloaf. It's one of those things where I should have a recipe for it by now, but I don't.
What, meatloaf or Wagyu meatloaf?
Meatloaf. Wow. I just throw shit in the bowl and call it meatloaf. I don't put the same stuff in every time.
Dave was going to have a Wagyu burger on Saturday, but now he's going to Applebee's, and all he's going to get is an 80-20 grind of
microwave
whatever
shit.
Lips were left on the floor.
Microwave shit. I remember when Applebee's used to be good. It's not anymore. I'm sorry.
The one thing that always impressed me about Applebee's is they know exactly how little food it takes to actually fill somebody up. They will not give you more than that, but you won't leave there. I mean, if you can stomach the food, you won't leave there hungry, but you won't get stuffed either. The portions are no bigger than they have to be.
Were you getting appetizers with that?
we'll spend the whole $50 probably. So.
See, when we do anything nice, it's usually Texas Roadhouse. Because
I figured that's where we would go, but
what, Texas Roadhouse?
She mentioned another. No, we got a Longhorn that's better than Texas Roadhouse, but
you're gonna end up in a fist fight with Joel.
Oh, there's some fight.
Steakhouse parking lot.
We have a Longhorn too. I just don't go there.
Texas Roadhouse has better salads. I like. And the thing about Longhorns is, if you go like six people go, one person will have their steak not cooked right. Everybody else will be perfect. So it's
well. I just fire up my Garmin app and see if you ran this morning.
I only run in the mornings on Saturdays. I ran at 5 today. And I walked today. I didn't run. I ran Saturday.
I don't know. See, now Garmin gives you that body battery thing, and I did not do any workout, and it says it's already down to 28.
Nah, my Garmin doesn't do it. My Garmin's 12 years old. It's a 230, I think.
Yeah.
Full runner. And it doesn't do the body battery. It doesn't even do heart rate.
Yep.
Dave, I got to address something that you had said. Like, why would you go to a steakhouse and get a salad?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, Dave.
No. You get a salad, like a side.
With the steak.
I thought you were going to the steakhouse and getting a salad. I'm like, you might as well just go somewhere else that specializes in
salad. Well, see, Texas Roadhouse, you get the Caesar salad as a side, if I remember right.
Yeah, you jackass. Why don't you like the Caesar salad, Dave?
I do, but as a side. I'm not ordering just a salad.
Right. Dave wants some beef.
I have gotten it, you know, this, it's like a pizza. It's like a Greek style hamburger joint and, they're all over there. But I'll get a grilled chicken salad there with, you know, it's big and got pepperoncinis.
Guess what happened to me, Dan? I get an email last week.
You got a dill dog in the wrong?
No. I got an email last week. That I got a package coming from Seltzer Smokehouse.
Oh yeah?
I don't know who sent it to me. I don't know where, but yes, that's what it was. And there was a bunch of different, Lebanon bologna in that box. And let me tell you, it's awesome. I don't know who sent it.
Did Seltzer send it to you?
Yeah, they did. Apparently.
That's crazy. Look at you. They're like, we gotta support this guy. He likes our meat.
They sent me
he's gonna find out next month. He subscribed. He'll get another box and they charge me $20 a month.
See, that's what was my first thought is, did I buy this shit? Like, I look in all my accounts and I see no charge anywhere. So the only thing I can figure out is when I was at the outlet store, I figured I filled out a card with my address on it, maybe. And maybe that's how they got it. I don't know. I have no idea who sent it to me. I don't know. I'm really appreciating of it because they sent me some stuff I didn't try before, like the sweet chipotle Lebanon bologna beef jerky. They take that same mix of meat and make beef jerky out of it, and it's good. And they sent me some of their sticks, too. So, and Snackers, which was just chunks of the Lebanon bologna, and I've been doing that, and I just got through what I brought home. But you sent me more of that double smoked one, some regular, some of the snacks, the meat snacks, and yeah. I was impressed. I'm like, it was a bunch of it too. It's going to be a while before I'm out.
So you got, did you get like three boxes of different crackers?
I didn't get any crackers. No, they didn't put any crackers in my thing.
So you got cheeses and meats?
No, just meat. It was just all meat.
Oh, cause they're doing giveaways. It looks like. I was just wondering if you got, I actually
signed up for the giveaway.
But
not till afterwards though.
So I'm wondering if maybe they, did you take a tour?
Maybe I did last month. I don't know.
Because I'm looking at their, oh, let's see, the gift box. Let's see what kind of gift. Oh, you get a seltzer's box? Is that it? It's like.
Let me look at the gift boxes.
Or was it the flavor, the smokehouse box, or?
Let's see.
Oh, there's a ton of boxes. It could have been any one of these. Flavor Lover's original gift box.
See, I think it was one of those boxes. Like, I think it was the smokehouse box, but there was a smokehouse box, but they added some stuff to it as well. I got the paper that came with it.
That's
on the
cool.
Other side of the room.
That's cool. Like, that's like $30, $20 to $30 there.
I know.
Wow, that's nice. Dave's over there.
Now,
I'm going to spend that on my wife on a plate before this is going to happen.
I did have an idea for, since most of my wife's family probably never tried this stuff, I might get some, we do a Christmas party once a year. I think I might get some and have like a Pennsylvania Christmas party. So I'll have that, like, do a charcuterie board, get some of the chubs and some of the cheese, and then make a shoofly pie. You ever had shoofly pie, Dan?
Yes, I've had shoofly pie. We had that discussion a couple years ago, didn't we?
Probably.
About, and then couldn't find shoofly pie down here, but then I eventually got some shoofly. I think I might have made the shoofly pie.
Yeah, I would say it's easy to make. It ain't hard.
Dan made some in the dugout one time.
Yeah.
Now, see, the one thing I've never tried from Seltzer's is the Dutch Grillers.
What's this place called? Seltzer's what?
Seltzer's Applebee's Extravaganza. Well, you can get chicken or steak or a burger at Applebee's this week, Dave.
I get steak. I'm hoping we don't go to
steak?
Applebee's.
Let me see here. Let me see what your offerings are. You can have an 8-ounce sirloin, a 6-ounce top sirloin, the Bourbon Street steak, shrimp and parmesan sirloin. You can get the riblets platter or the riblets plate or some baby back ribs. Those are your choices, Dave.
Gourmet, chef's kiss
in the ass.
I hope we don't go there, but if we got a gift card, we probably are.
Dave's like, finally, I get to go to a great restaurant. And his wife's like, yeah, we're going to Applebee's, baby. I'm telling you, man, hijack her and take her to Biscuitville. Tell her you're taking a shortcut. 40 minutes later, you're in that parking lot thinking about the free biscuits you might be getting.
Damn it.
It's best if I don't choose the restaurant. I think the last time I did might have been our 30th wedding anniversary or something like that. I took her to Wendy's. Yeah. You should have seen her face when we pulled in the parking lot. She said, why are we here? I said, this was the first restaurant we ate at as a married couple.
Oh.
I thought I would have got that reaction, but I didn't.
Oh man, Dave! Never has such a sentimental gesture met with just utter disappointment. Huh?
Hey, you know what we bought each other for our anniversary, our 25th one? Nintendo Switches.
Yeah, I remember that.
And you know why? Because the wedding present to each other when we got married in 1997 was a Nintendo 64.
Did you both play it?
We did all the time.
So now, do you play games with your wife on the Switch?
Nah, she hardly plays it. Yeah. I mean, she will every once in a while. She plays, like, we got Animal Crossing for it. That's what she plays. Not really a multiplayer game.
Don't take her to Applebee's.
No, we hate Applebee's. Or Fridays has got bad too, man. Fridays is just, ugh. I don't know what's going on.
What if TGI Fridays still has some of the menu items that were there when I worked there?
They had the turkey sliders when you were there?
No.
Sliders are a new thing, man.
They came in one end and went out the other pretty quickly.
Now, see, you know what the thing up in Ohio for Valentine's Day? No lie. White Castles. They go to get, they do a special Valentine's Day deal in the Columbus area. You take your honey over to White Castles and they set the table and they have table service and everything. I like a slider as much as anybody, but that's the last place I go on Valentine's Day.
Where'd you take your wife on Valentine's Day? Outback? No, not Outback. Shit.
My Kitchen.
Oh, really? You didn't take her to the steakhouse?
Yeah, I'm lucky. I got that kind of wife that doesn't care about that stuff.
There you go.
I mean, I remember I buy her flowers. She's like, "What'd you buy these for?" I'm like, "Cause I thought you might like them."
They're just gonna die.
That's exactly what she tells me. And I'm like, "Great, I don't have to buy flowers anymore. That works for me."
Why doesn't the TGI Fridays website have their menu?
Because that would only be logical.
I don't care about TGI Fridays anymore. Forget it. They've lost my interest, Dave. Thanks.
I'd rather go to, we're going to the State Fair Saturday.
You gonna get yourself a dill dog?
Nah, I wouldn't get that. I see, it's funny how often we talk about that damn thing, and I only ever had it once, maybe twice. I did make some hot dogs earlier in the week. Members mark.
go ahead, Dave, sorry.
I was going to say, my wife sautéed some green beans out of the garden, and they were awesome.
Oh, ooh. I bet, man. That sounds really good.
Oh, they were good.
What you put on it, garlic?
I have no idea, but it was delicious.
Bacon grease.
I don't ask questions. I just eat what's in front of me.
Oh, so that's how Dave dies.
we went up to Williamsburg this weekend to walk around William and Mary where Avery's going to be attending this fall. And, you know, look at the campus. And afterwards, we went to this place called the Amber Ox, which is it's a great restaurant up there.
Should have went to the cheese shop, man.
Well, I went to the Amber Ox. And it was really, like, we've been there a couple of times. It was really good. But it was brunch, so it was off the brunch menu. I got a frittata there. And I was like, I make frittata at home all the time. And I was like, all right, I'll try it, you know. It was really good. Gave me some ideas, but it was really good. Was not disappointed at all. It was so good. Right, Dave?
Oh, yeah.
You don't even know what frittata is, do you?
No.
There you go. You're not eating that in South Carolina.
It's eggs with shit in it.
I think I've heard of it, but, yeah.
It's like a lazy man's omelet.
Okay.
You just... You make it in like a skillet. It's kind of close to, I mean, not too far from quiche, except it doesn't have a crust. It's like a crustless quiche, almost.
See, next time you go down there, you gotta go to this place, man.
Basically a scrambled bake.
Right.
Yep.
It's usually a combination of vegetables and meats and different cheeses, however. Like, I usually make, like, one with tomatoes and onions and feta cheese, peppers.
Yep. That's kind of what I every once in a while, I'll take, like, two eggs, scramble them, and I'll throw in some feta and some spinach in it. And it's delicious.
What's she going to be taking it at William & Mary?
Business. She's going to get her MBA, I believe, is what she's going for.
Well, she got to get her undergrad in, though.
Well, she has an associate's now, and so she's going to get a BA, and then it rolls over into an MBA, so that's the program it is. So it's like you're going to enroll there while you're getting your BA.
Is she going to drive in every day, or is she going to move there?
No, she's going to commute there to start.
How far is the drive?
That's like 30 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
It's like a commute to work.
Yeah, I've done it.
The only thing you have to be careful of is the time of day, because between here and there is the Fort Eustis.
Stupid Hampton Roads. Yeah.
So usually 6:30 to 7:30, 8 o'clock, and then around 3 o'clock is when those places have the most traffic going in and out.
She's going the right direction. She avoids that Hampton Roads bridge.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we are right here at the Hampton Roads Bridge, so.
Right.
Usually it's not bad to get on that exit right there or the entrance ramp right there at the Mallory Street, because you just got the cars coming out of the tunnel, so it's that weird effect where you'll have 10 miles of backup in front of the tunnel, and then as soon as you get out of the tunnel, it's like, where did everybody go? You know,
right.
It's like, it's crazy to see it just open up like that.
Commuting is the way to go to that. My wife and I commuted, both my daughters commuted. It's just cheaper that way.
it is.
Now, what I want to know,
I was on campus and I loved it. So.
Oh yeah, I would have loved it, but I mean, I live 9 miles from Clemson, so it wasn't an option for me.
You rode in on a Nutria, right?
Nah, it was a Volkswagen Beetle.
There you go. How many of you guys had to deal with CrowdStrike last Friday?
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because we didn't talk about it. I didn't deal with it at all.
The Arch Linux site was down for a little while. I don't know if it was because of that or not. That's the only effect it had on
Windows. Well, see, now, I just saw a story today that also impacted Linux, too.
Websites or servers?
Servers.
How did it impact Linux servers if it was a Windows update?
It wasn't a Windows update. It was an update to CrowdStrike.
Okay, so...
The only reason Windows was involved is because the way CrowdStrike is written, the Falcon, it was a Falcon anti-malware thing, and they had their own driver in Windows, and what happened is they updated the definition. The definitions can include P code, and one of the P code files, from my understanding, a video I watched about it was that one of those files had nothing but binary zeros in it, and that told the Windows kernel, well, Windows kernel didn't know how to deal with it, so it crashed. Now, it was just a story just out today from Tom's Hardware that says Linux was also impacted, too.
Well, if it was, so what, do you know, did they release exactly what the problem was? Like, what?
They did.
So what was it?
It was their definitions update that they pulled down for the, because this is an anti-malware tool.
Right.
So all of them have definitions.
So their definitions ended up excluding or not excluding their own driver stuff that they needed to use?
No, the driver, which reads those definitions, runs at the kernel level.
Right.
Okay. So. When it hit the one definition file, which can have code in it too, then since that executed at the kernel level, and it didn't know what to do with the file with the zeros in it, it crashed the kernel. And then what happens is because they had their driver set so that it cannot be that it has to load when you boot it. All right, because you can. You can let Windows say, oh, if I have problem loading a driver, don't load it the next time you boot. Well, CrowdStrike didn't have it set up like that. So every single time it booted, it tried to load that CrowdStrike driver, and then it would crash again and boot loop.
I don't know how this affected Linux, though.
Yeah,
how
that
doesn't make
how
any sense.
Well, Linux, let me get the article over into the mumble.
So I smell bullshit.
I do too.
There we go. It was causing kernel panics in Red Hat Linux since April.
Wait, let me get this right. CrowdStrike was causing kernel panics in Red Hat Linux since April, and it only impacted everybody last week because of Windows?
I'm guessing there are two separate issues is what I'm guessing.
But wait, where's the article you're posting?
It's in Mumble Chat.
Oh, I hate when this
from Tom Thunder.
Oh, okay.
The headline says CrowdStrike issues. I mean, meaning plurals. The event that happened last week, but CrowdStrike has in the past caused issues for Linux.
Yes.
Okay, so the problem that they had last week didn't impact Linux, but they've had problems. Okay.
Red Hat has had problems.
Correct. So yeah, it wasn't related. But on the other side of that too, I'm trying to think what all was impacted on. It was a pretty wide-reaching one. And what all it goes down towards is monoculture of anything, either operating systems or security software, is bad.
How?
That's why we don't need a universal Linux operating system.
There we go. How did they fix it? I mean, I guess that would have to, at that point, you would have to intervention on there.
The intervention that Microsoft provided, CrowdStrike didn't do that. Microsoft provided a way that you can boot into it and then disable that driver, and then it would boot up fine.
No, but I mean, no matter what, the only way to fix this was you had to
manually touch the server.
Manually and boot it with something other than itself, correct?
Right. I have to go find the knowledge article.
Or is there a way, I guess if you have access to the system, then CrowdStrike isn't going to prevent you from.
Yes.
Disabling it in some way.
Let's see. Was it the same date? Oh, this is an update. Microsoft actually released a Windows tool to fix 8.5 million machines. But see, but there was another thing. There was a manual fix that a lot of folks were doing Friday. That's what we did. See, I didn't directly have to deal with that other than catch the crap that came into the ticketing system.
So, is your company using CrowdStrike on their hosted systems? On the systems?
Yes.
Okay.
And on our Windows-based laptops. We had a couple of our analysts that couldn't do work until they fixed their laptop.
Because I know my wife had gone to get her passport picture taken on Friday, and the DMV was closed because of CrowdStrike, but not the passport section.
Right.
Photo taking and putting all that together. Yeah, I didn't get impacted, thankfully. Is it still going on? I mean, I guess it is, right?
Yeah, well, it depends on where you're at. I can say from my company, we're done. We had it mitigated by the end of the day on Friday.
Well, I did affect my stuff at work, and I didn't know anybody that got affected by work, and it didn't affect me anywhere else I had gone. So that was why I wasn't flying anywhere or going to the bank that it would affect me.
Now, Joe. I know Joe got hit pretty hard, didn't you?
Sounds like Joe had a lot of work he had to do.
Yeah, there was a lot of work getting done, but mostly, it was a bunch of our servers that we access or accesses our information were having issues. So a lot of it I didn't have to fix. I just had to, you know, explain to over and over again that this was going on and it's being worked on by these people. And if you want to yell at somebody, yell at them, not me. Because yelling at me is zero good.
See, it's kind of like what I did. I will say this. The thing that irked me is, hey, their production system's down, right? Then they put a freaking case in and says, hey, I can't log into non-production. I'm like, what were you thinking? I'm like, production's down, so I'm going to go test something? I'm like, really?
Well, when was the last time you tried to access non-prod? Right? I mean, I know you've been testing in prod for years now.
I'm like, I'm sorry, we're working on your production systems. Once production for the entire Edge Cloud is taken care of, then we'll address non-production.
Let me stop working on the stuff that makes us money, so that way I can go and fix the stuff you don't really use anyway.
Right. And then I come to find out that the delivery managers that's what they were telling their clients. I'm like, are you insane? I mean, the good thing is most everyone was very understanding of the whole situation. Cause I'm assuming they were impacted too. They ran CrowdStrike too. And let me be clear too. If you didn't run CrowdStrike and you had Windows systems, you were up all damn day. So it's just people who ran CrowdStrike. It's like, a lot of people will say, well, that's why Windows is bad. Well, no, I mean, I'll say this. Yes, you can, if Microsoft would fix the architecture of Windows so that when something like this happens, it doesn't crash the kernel. Well, then there you go. There's one thing you can ask Microsoft to do.
Take it up with Microsoft.
Right. But it's like, the problem wasn't Microsoft. It was CrowdStrike.
Well, I would say that it's also Microsoft because they didn't test. They didn't verify.
Yeah, well, they need to, if anything, put some sort of controls that says, hey, if you're writing a malware tool, you can't put P-code in your definition files. But there's going to be more to find out, but I mean, they're estimating that there's $1 billion lost from this outage on Friday. It's a big deal. You know, my favorite is the media is saying, well, how will this happen again? I'm like, well, not this exact issue, but something else will happen again. It's only a matter of time when something this big happens again. I mean, this is almost as bad as, actually, I think it was worse than the Java vulnerabilities that were out
about
3 years ago. Remember that one? That was bad. This is worse.
But it wasn't bad for you, Dave?
Nah. He's not an IT cog.
It wasn't a pain in your ass like the time you rolled your suppository in Pop Rocks?
No, you see, when Dave screwed up, people died.
Nah.
Mr. Food, you were like the Chevy Chase of food additives.
Yeah.
Like you'd the one that came up with the non-nutritive cereal varnish to preserve the crisp in the cereal.
Yep.
Or the right blend of vitamins and a vitamin.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
But and the expanding flavored suppository. Ooh, guaranteed 10 times bigger after entering.
I don't know, an expanding suppository would be bad.
Depends on which direction it expands, right, Dave?
I did develop a, when I first started doing soft gels, I developed a vitamin that if you shook it in your hand, it would explode. And it was it wasn't done intentionally. But it was done at the customer's request, but unintentionally.
Shake it, go boom. Like, how violent of an explosion?
Well, a soft gel, when it dries, is sort of firm. Literally, you could shake one in your hand and then open your hand and it would crack open and all the contents would come out.
So it didn't shatter and shoot shrapnel all over the place, right?
No, but the fill material inside would burst out of it. It's like an acid base reaction,
Right.
Used to make the homemade volcanoes back in third grade. The customer wanted a non-salt version of potassium, which reacted over time. Anytime it got shipped, that kind of thing would happen.
How many were manufactured before you found that out?
A trial batch, less than 100,000. So I mean, non-commercial amounts.
That's cool.
But I think the worst thing I helped develop was a no cholesterol Duke's mayonnaise. It just tasted like crap, but it had no cholesterol in it.
Of course it did. I didn't do Duke's today. I did a cream cheese.
Well, I thought there was going to be more fighting words.
Nah. I did cream cheese on my original Lemon and bologna.
Ugh.
Oh, it was good. You don't like cream cheese. You're weird.
I like the jalapeno cream cheese, and that's about it.
I like palmetto cheese.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Dave's a pimento cheese fan, right?
I'll eat it. Especially if it's
you ever had the jalapeno version of the palmetto? That's good.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
I can't get that up here. I wish I could. Just like I can't get birch beer here.
Which is weird, because I can get birch beer down here. And you can't get it at a farmer's market?
I probably could. There's not that many birch beer. I know I can't. I'll probably get some when I'm down at my dad's. We go to Yoder's country store, and they have them there.
Yeah, but your dad's in Tennessee.
I know. This place is called Yoder's Country Store. They have a lot of Pennsylvania products in it for some reason. They probably even have John Cope's.
Well, if it's like the Yoder's in South Carolina, they're Mennonite, which is...
Exactly.
I'll shoot an Amish, which is Pennsylvania Dutch.
Correct. Yeah, they have I've never gotten one of their sandwiches yet, but they'll have a sandwich special every day. One of their sandwich special days is they'll make Reubens or Rachel's. You know what a Rachel is, right?
Yep.
Is that turkey instead?
Turkey instead, yep.
Okay.
Other than that, everything else is the same as a Reuben. I'm like, how could you not get a Reuben, though? I love Reubens. Corned beef sauerkraut.
Now, I like a Reuben. I just don't like the Thousand Island dressing on it.
Oh, that's the best part.
No.
And the only way I eat Thousand Island dressing, too, because I think it's gross on salad.
Yeah, you eat it on a Big Mac, won't you?
Well,
the last time you had a Big Mac.
Yeah. A long time ago. I haven't had one in a long time.
You can get a Yates. Isn't that just a squirrel with some Dukes and relish on it?
You ever had Squirrel Dan?
No, I haven't, but I know you have.
Yeah, it's not that good.
You douse enough mayonnaise on it, it'll probably taste good, right?
My mother-in-law used to make squirrel and dumplings.
Oh. Did she trap them out in the backyard?
that way. I know she had like grandkids that would shoot squirrels and bring them to her. And
would you eat squirrel?
I had squirrel.
Would I eat squirrel? I would try it.
I would too.
It's,
Dave says, "Don't bother."
The best squirrel I've ever eaten, I guess, was rotisserie basted in vinegar over a campfire. That was okay. I killed that squirrel, cleaned it, and cooked it over a campfire that night in the woods, and that was the best. But squirrels is not that good.
Were you the only one eating that squirrel?
No, there was a couple of us.
Dave's like, try this. About and they're like, oh, what's next, Dave? This is something I've been working on in my spare time.
My nephew eats squirrel brains.
that doesn't sound like a good idea.
Yeah, it's a good way to get a virus, actually.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, you know? One of those viruses that you don't...
The squirrel meningitis or something.
That kills you.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound good. Woo. Oh, right?
10 o'clock.
Is it 10 o'clock already? Oh, man.
It's been 10 o'clock for 50 seconds.
Any last words?
Words.
Alright.
I will say this is, we're getting down to the wire. We got, it's 10 days, I think, till the hike. It's a week from Saturday. So, I'm ready.
Oh, good job.
I got a question real quick about the hike.
Are
you walking on paved surfaces?
No, it's gonna be a mix of, there's gonna be dirt, there's gonna be gravel, there may be some paved. It depends. That's a trail I haven't been on before, but it's probably going to be mostly dirt.
Okay. Because the trail I'm going to every day is a hiking / mountain bike trail.
Right. So it's paved, right?
Yeah. Well, no, it's not paved. It's in the woods. There's pine needles, red clay, and roots and rocks. And this week we run with another couple, and this weekend a buddy of mine sprained his ankle. And then 2 days later, my wife and his wife both fell. I'm the only one that's not falling yet.
Trip over.
Dave was the one that was pushing him.
Well, I'm giving him a hard time because I'm the oldest of the group. And I tell him I can't take these youngsters with me anymore because they can't stand up straight.
Did you watch Cobra Kai yet?
I've never watched it.
Yeah, the first 6 episodes of the last season is out. It was good.
Huh. All right, I'm going to play us out. Here we go.
Play us out.
Here we go. Here we go. Here are your promo.
I am short.
Oh, my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? With my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
I'd watch Sweet Meat. It's a juxtaposition in my mouth. I like heat.
Well, you were making it for
Sweet Meat.
I was in the dining room having sushi.
I like Sweet Meat.
It's like elementary school.
Oh my goodness. This we're like halfway through the summer now, aren't we? I mean,
yep.
If you count your summer by when the kids go back to school.
They go back to school here next week, August 1st, I think they start back. Public schools in South Carolina. And my youngest daughter, I think she next week is finals for the summer session, and she's got 2 weeks off, and she goes back for her last 2 semesters. She's in college, so. But yeah, they start in August here.
Yeah. had to see if I can't get something semi-healthy at the fair. Or just not eat anything Saturday.
It sounds like the wrong place to look for.
Yeah. I might do a...
deep fried cauliflower.
Nah, dude. Now, tomorrow I'm probably going to order from Athena's Euro House here. I get a Greek salad there, but I tell them, leave the damn olives off of it. Because I hate Kalamata olives.
Oh, I love those. Oh, my goodness. Those are only olives I do love. Oh, I love those.
They're nasty.
No, they're so good.
Extra feta.
Put some Italian dressing on them?
No. Extra banana peppers, too.
All you have to do with Kalamata olives, man, is you just pull them right out of the jar, pop them in your mouth.
They're good.
Any olives, pull it right out of the jar, pop it in your mouth. You're in heaven.
Yeah, not. I don't care for them that much. But I always have them put Euro meat on top of it though. That stuff's good.
And then we can go on to other things. Or how's everybody else? That's all we need is Dave. Right?
I don't know.
Where are we? Okay, yeah. You know what show this is going to be?
Uh, 1061.
You got it, sir. All right. We did that, and then we do this, and we go into here, and we say, this?
I'd like sweet old meat.
All right. So now we know that the audio is working. We know your audio is working, Dave.
I temporarily forgot about that.
He'll never forget, Dave. You going to Ohio Linux Fest this year?
I am not.
Wait, is it in October this year?
I don't know.
Or is it in September?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I forgot that. What we got here? What we got here? Hold on. Where's Joel? Where's Joe? What's taking Joe so long? Oh my goodness. Is it nice and humid there?
Yeah, oh God, yeah. I mean, the temperature's lowered, but it's humid. It's 89 today, but it was, I don't know what the humidity was, but it was hot. It was wet. We've been getting rain every day, but the humidity's awful though. There's Joe.
Who?
There we go.
Never heard of him. Who's that guy? Brought somebody named Joe on the show? Heard all those guys are assholes.
They are. Oh my goodness. Here we go. Alright. Oh, this is 1061. I think we're ready to go.
I think. I thought it was 1062.
No, last week was 60.
I don't know if I should wait. I don't know if I should wait for Joel to talk about some stuff. Well, he's going to be busting.
He's going to be late.
What's that?
He'll be here. He's just going to be late.
Yeah, I know.
Wait, Joel.
Where was the other thing I was looking at? Damn it. Was it that long ago?
www.crackpipe.com.
There we go.
www.flavoredsuppositories.com.
Stop promoting Dave's sites. When he starts paying the advertiser fee, then we can promote his his retirement plan. All right.